want to echo those words. We want to sing them back to you, and we really want to say to you, you reign in us. And so today I pray as we look at who you are and we look at what you've called us to, I pray that there would be a resolve, there would be a focus in each one of us to say, will you reign in us? It's not about me here, it's about you. It's about what I can do in your kingdom. So I pray that this morning we would sense your presence, steering us, guiding us, directing us in this way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I don't know if you've seen this symbol, right? The Olympics are coming. And what is that symbol? Anybody know? What is that? Inukshuk. Everybody knows what that is. It's interesting. I don't know if you know this or not, but it's an Inuit sign. And I didn't know what it was when I went north and lived with the Inuit for 3 years. But to me, when I look at that symbol, I think of adventure. But I also think of risk, because when you go out on a tundra, there's thousands of miles of open country. In the wintertime, in most of the year, it's all white, not many hills. And so it's a great place to get lost. And if you get lost out there and you're, say, you're going towards Yellowknife, you're not going to make it. Thousands of miles in that area. So when I look at that symbol, I think of the adventure, because I love getting out in the land. I'm an outdoor person, love going hunting with them. And but I'll tell you what, you needed to focus in on those Inukshuts along the way. They were signs for you to navigate. So it could be adventure, but it could also be a real risk. You could go out there to have and not have a great adventure, but a terror-filled experience. Many have lost their life out on the barrens because they didn't pay attention, didn't focus in on some of the signs that were there. Staying focused, that's what I want to talk about today. And it's very important, not only in our own life, but in the life of the church. Let me tell you another story. When I was a bachelor, I had a Coke can collection. Anybody have a Coke can collection or just me? I was one of those weirdos. Oh, there's a few here. Because back in the 70s, they used to have these Coke cans. And wherever you went in the world, you would see them with Arabic writing. You would see them in just about every country. Coke had this thing going on. So I brought these cans back with me, thinking, wow, would they ever look good in my house? And I could have this collection sitting up there. Well, there was actually a woman actually raised her hand. She had a Coke can collection, but my wife thought they were the ugliest things going. And this came as a bit of a shock to a naive bachelor. And we were having this discussion about when she was, after we were married, and she was going to move into my house and how we were going to decorate the house. And she just threw this bomb at me. She said, those pop cans, they got to go. And I thought, you don't like them? Come on. Like, you're going to want to get rid of them? You got to be kidding. And you know when you're young and the emotions come and you probably say things, you're on the edge, you're in the ditch, and she says, well, I'll tell you what, this is how strongly I feel. Either it's the pop cans or it's me. You need to pick. So all of a sudden, I want to tell you that my focus kind of changed. And I think it's okay for our focuses to change, because I think two things begin to happen when we look at focus. There is adventure involved in focus. Now, if you don't focus on life and your life is all about just sitting back on a couch and you've got no aspirations, no dreams, no passions, you're going to lack the adventure. Guarantee you that. Also, if you're focusing in, there's going to be some risk involved. And that's a part of the excitement of the journey. Secondly, there are times in life where we need to say, is this focus I have in my life, is it worthy? Is it noble enough to steer my life, to direct my life? And there have been many times as I've grown and matured, both physically and spiritually and mentally, that some of the focuses in my life I've left behind to gain new ones. And so I want to talk to you this morning about focus and how it's not just important for us individually to have a focus, but it's vitally important for us as a church to also have a focus. And you've heard me say this many times before, churches are not a lot different than people. They have personalities. They're a living organism, and we move, and they're shaped by all sorts of things. Churches need a focus, just like we need a focus. They need a passion. They need directions. We need to sometimes live intentionally if we're going to accomplish what we need to accomplish, because just like humans, churches can become unhealthy. They can lose their focus. They can become inward focused. They can become self-serving, small-minded, and ineffective in the kingdom of God. And we don't want our church to become like that. So today I want to speak to you about direction. We look at around here, we look at this service as the big service of the year where we're launching a new church year. And I want to talk to you about what we've decided to, the direction we've decided to go in as a church. Now, it wasn't as if I recognized last night or maybe yesterday afternoon, oh boy, we got to get a direction going for the church. You know what? We talked about this direction way back in April. And as a staff, we took the week to fast and pray. And we said, we want to find the direction that God wants for this church. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's what He wants. And, you know, we came back into the room, 14 of us, and it was almost unanimous on the direction that we should go as a church. And so we took that to the board of elders and talked to them about the direction that we thought the church should go. They signed off on this. And this year, I want to tell you that our direction is that we would be a church that shares the light. That we would be a church that would minister in evangelism. Now, to give you some context about why we think it's important to focus in on some of our values, we just think that the church, if it's not given the direction and the focus that it needs, will just kind of wander. So we've talked about sharing the light. Last year, we talked about worship. And you may have heard this statement many times as we examined the light. Remember Jesus said, I am the light of the world? Well, we began to examine the light, the object of our worship. And here's what we said as a statement, and you've heard it many times last year. We will revere. This is a statement we make about worship. We will revere and enjoy God in all we do, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. We will live desiring His presence. Has that been true of your life this past year? There's been a desire for more of God? We'll be dependent on His power. We could do church. We're pretty brilliant people. We could do church on our best wisdom, but you know what? That's not good enough. It's not what God's called us to do. He's called us to be dependent on His power, aligning with His purpose. Church is run with many purposes, but we decided last year we want to run with the purpose that God has put in His Word and in our hearts. We want to be obedient to His Word, and we will call out to Him personally and corporately with expectation that He will answer. So there was our vision statement. Now, how did we give that legs? You may not have realized what was going on around you as we decided to finish speaking on Jesus, the kingdom of God in the book of Matthew. And we studied that for most of the year, the words of Jesus. And he is the object of our worship. And then in about November, we brought in a guy by the name of Ken Shamoon. And many of you were at that time where we had six messages all surrounding the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. How many of you were here the night that we called people to be filled with the Spirit and the whole front was full of people? How many were there for that night? That was intentionally done because we wanted to focus in on the object of our worship, and that is Jesus, and that is the Holy Spirit. And then in the last 3 months, we've left these banners up. Last 3 months, we've talked about God and the names of God, and we've seen how God has been our fortress, and He's a God who sees us. He's a God of victory. He's the mighty one. And we leave those up there just so you can remember and understand and live by who God is. So we've done intentionally, we've studied the object of our worship. Small groups have done training times on the work of the Holy Spirit and many other ministries that have surrounded this whole area of worship and how we can bring ourselves to a place of worship of God Himself. You may have been involved in the days of fasting and prayer that we have done around here, and you'll remember we had this with this one weekend or a couple of, I think it was 4 days, where we actually, a week, we turned down the volume in our lives. Why would we do that? Why would we say we're not going to watch television for this week? We're not going to do all the normal things we do, but we're going to spend time meditating, listening to God instead of listening to all the other voices that speak to us. The reason we did that is because our focus was on worshiping God. Then we had the Bible challenge, and some of you we'll know what this is, and maybe some of you won't, but we wanted to be on the same page as we read through Scripture. And so we've developed in 2 years to read through the Bible together as a body. And that's been an incredible thing for me as we've, it's stimulated conversations. People have asked questions, but we've been on the same page reading through the Bible. So that's what we did last year as we sought to focus in on the object of our worship. Well, this year, point number two, if you're following in on the bulletin insert, point number two is we're going to be choosing to share the light this year. Our statement would be evangelism. Evangelism simply means that I will share the message of Jesus in whatever way that I can. And here's our statement that we've made. It's in your bulletin insert, and you can follow it. It says, we will share the message of Jesus Christ in word and deed throughout our community, planting churches as we go. We will go and partner with others who go around the world and take the gospel to those who have not heard. Now, I don't know what you're feeling right now, but for some of us who maybe grew up in a different era and maybe a different culture, those words may take us back to many different things. I'll tell you what it takes me back to. In the 1970s, 1980s, 70s and 80s, I was in the church, and we had some pretty aggressive evangelism. And I was actually part of a team where we went door to door. We did some cold calling on people's doors. It might have worked in the 70s. I'm not convinced that kind of thing will work well in our culture. So we want to be culturally relevant. We don't want to be turning people off. But sometimes when we think of evangelism, our minds can go to those things. And your pulse may have gone up where you think, well, maybe I'm expected to be something I don't feel like I am. Or maybe I'm going to be made to feel guilty because I haven't had all these contacts like others have had. I don't want you to feel that way. I want you to just walk as God would lead you, but be intentionally focused that God is going to lead you. Guarantee, He's going to lead you to speak for Him. Why? Because His Holy Spirit is living within us, and He's going to lead us, if we will be focused, He's going to lead us to situations where we can speak for God, and not necessarily speak, but we can live our lives out so people can see there is a God in heaven. So if you're thinking that this is all about long speeches and backing people into the corner and arguing your way into who God is, it's not what we're going to be doing. But what we're going to be saying is you need to build friendships. You need to create some space in your life, build friendships, and gently let people watch your life and lead them to Christ. Why do we do this? Why are we saying that we want to do this watering and we want to do this planting of seeds and we want to weed and we want to harvest in the kingdom? Why do we do that? Well, you've heard me say many times the reason we do things around here is because we have a boss, we have a king, we have one who mandates that we do these things. And so I want to show you this morning where God's heart is at and where this whole evangelism begins in the heart of God and ends in what we do and say. First of all, the heart of God, why do we share? This is point number 2A. Why do we share? It's because of God's heart. In John 3:16, many of us will know that verse. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." There we see the incredible love of God. Now, I just became a grandpa. We had a little girl, and it's exciting. But I can't imagine the love I feel in my heart for that little girl that just kind of surprised me, that I would give my only son. That's quite an incredible love that God did. He loves the world that much that He gave His one and only son. And then He says, this is the only way that you're going to receive eternal life. You need to begin a relationship and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then, so we not only see the heart of God there, but we also see what He's done. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 7 says this. It reiterates both these thoughts, God's heart, plus what He's gone on to do. God our Savior wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. You may not hear that around in the circles I'm in and you're in. People may say, well, I believe there's a lot of different ways to God. Well, you need to know right up front here that that's not what God says. He says there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. One God, one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And he gave himself as a ransom for men, the testimony given at his proper time. And notice our role in this. Paul says, for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and apostle. What is a herald? A herald is one who is a messenger, a crier. He would, in olden times, they would cry the news, and anything happened, the crier would come up and give this message. Paul says, that's who I am. I'm appointed to do this. Because God has poured his love into my heart, I want to do this. It's my appointed time. It's my appointed ministry. It's my job. He says, an apostle who is one who bears witness to Christ in the world. And so God is saying, here's my heart, here's what I've done, and here's what you need to understand. You're appointed. The Bible talks about many ways that we can be appointed. First of all, it talks about kind of a passive role in the sense that we're just to be a light. Listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 5, 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This is saying you don't even need to open your mouth. Just live in a way that when people observe you, when they hear you and watch you doing life, they know. They know that you're different. I hear a lot of people talking about those who they work with and those who are neighbors. And I hear good reports. Lots of times I hear good reports and people say, you know what? They are different. They live differently. I wish I was like them. I wish I had the peace. I wish I had the joy. I wish I had some of the things they have. What are they doing? They're watching this light of Christ that has come into your life and transformed your life and just flows out into your life. But God also says, Jesus also told us that I want you to be active in this, not just passive, not just let your light shine and stand there and let it shine, but he says, I'm calling you to be active. And you'll remember this. We talked about this last year, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus' last command. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Do you hear God's call on our lives? This is what we're to be involved in. This is when we sang that last song before I got up to preach. We talked about, Lord Jesus, would you reign in my life so that I can be a messenger, so that I can go out and do what you've called me to do. There's help in this whole endeavor, and sometimes we can say, oh, I don't know if I can do that. But I think the Bible many times talks about the fact that it's really not really you doing it, but it's the Spirit being able to move you and shape you and steer you in these directions. And I don't know if you've seen this, but I've often seen where God has set up situations and he's given me wisdom to speak into a situation that has just been incredible. And I've sat there and I thought, wow, that is not my brain because I can't think that well. That's the Spirit of God doing a work in a situation where he just needs me to be there so he can speak through my mouth. Listen to what John 14, 26 says. It says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father has sent in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. What has God said to us? Well, we've talked about what he said to us. Matthew 28, Matthew 5, 1 Timothy 2, 3 to 7, John 3, 16. These are things that God has poured into our life. What's the Holy Spirit going to do? He's going to take those things and bring them to situations in which we find ourselves. He's going to be, not only is he going to be reminding us and teaching us, but we go into chapter 16 and it talks about him doing a convicting work. If you think that you have to go and convince someone to be a follower of Jesus, that's his job. He does the convicting work. He's the one who helps people understand their need to have a connection with God. And we're just called to go and help them understand what that means. So he convicts, does the convicting work. Then he guides us and he directs us and he lays out the plan of action that he wants us to follow. So that's the heart of God. He's not only his heart of love for all people, but he's called us to be a part of that. And he says, I will help you through the Holy Spirit's ministry to do that. So let's get specific around here about point number B. How can we actually share? And if you see that, you'll see under this point, you'll see the statement, the vision statement that we have. And I want to take that apart a little bit and talk about what we're going to do, what we're specifically going to do directionally this next year with this passion and vision of evangelism. Sharing the message of Jesus Christ is what it says. It says we will share the message of Jesus. And I want you to notice that this is a plural statement. It's referring to us as a corporate body. And you know, a lot of this is going to be done individually, but we're also going to be doing it as a collective body. We're going to be talking about these things. There's nothing more powerful than a group of people moving in one direction. We see this throughout Scripture. The Tower of Babel, God says, wow, this group of people, they're going the wrong way, but there's no end to what they can do if they band together and do this together. And we are a family. The Bible says that we are brothers and sisters, and he is our father. Jesus is our brother. So we are a family, and it's going to be amazing of what God can do if we all get on the same page. And so every age, every stage, every department in our church is going to have this as our focus. Our large group gatherings on the weekend, we're going to be studying, I think, the most evangelistic book in all the Bible, and that is the book of Daniel. And if you've never kind of understood and read through the book of Daniel, very fascinating. How Daniel was taken from a nation who honored God and brought into one where he was the odd man out. And yet he allowed his light to shine so that people understood God in new and fresh ways. So we're going to be studying that right away next Sunday. I'd encourage you to start reading it now. You know what, we're going to have life stories up here. And sometimes I've heard that, you know, oh, that person that did the life story, they're such a perfect person. They look like such a saint. I don't want you to think like that, because we're all just normal people. And so the people up here have just followed God, and we're going to listen to some life stories throughout this year. I got many of them. God has brought our people into so many unique situations that I want to let people tell those stories. It's not all about them. It's not about them being super saints. It's about them just responding to the call of God and the call of the Spirit and being in situations where their light shone. So this should inspire us, should spur us on, and that's the intention of some of these life stories that you're going to begin to hear. We're going to be focused on this kind of activity. Our children's ministry, just over here, I just heard some incredible things from one of our leaders over there, and she said, here's what I'm going to be teaching the age two kids. Listen to this. Age two. She's going to teach them God loves them, they can love God, and they can tell others. Isn't that simple? Sometimes they're the most effective little evangelists in their world. They put us to shame as adults. But that's what I'm saying. Every department, small groups, you'll be challenged, as Phyllis talked about this morning. We'll be challenged to live beyond ourselves, just our little group. And we want to be out there in the community and sharing this as a group of people and praying for our friends that we can show them the love of Christ. The women's ministry has talked about building relationships with the poor among us, home starter kits, mustard seed, all kinds of plans that they've got where they can be out in the community rubbing shoulders with people and building relationships with people. Then it goes on to talk about this statement. It says, we will share the message of Jesus Christ. Next phrase is, in word and deed throughout our community. And that's exactly what we want to be. And then this little statement, planting churches as we go. You know, that's been a statement of ours since the very first day that we opened the church doors. We're not a church that's going to stay static. We're not a church that wants to be comfortable. We're a church that wants to continue to reach people. So we've had plans, and actually if you look at it this way, we started the one service. Really, we planted a second service at 9:15, which you're in. We planted a third service on Saturday night, and we want to continue to go on. We're actually looking at planting a fourth service, and this fourth service is going to take place at the end of September. Launch will be the last Sunday of September. It's going to be a service that runs on Saturday night. and we're going to find a venue for it. It's going to be focused on youth and young adults in our community. Our pastor, our new youth pastor, Wade Gardner, is going to lead this, and it's going to run simultaneous with our Saturday night service. So we're saying there's a whole host of youth and young adults in this church. Probably most of them in the 11:15 service. I'm thinking probably half of them are between the ages of 18 and 25, 26. Think of the potential. Think of this demographic within our community that needs to understand what it is to walk with God and to be a part of that. So we're excited about that happening. And if you're at the last congregational meeting, you'll know that we're looking at a fifth service as well. We're not going to stop. One day we're going to stand here, and I believe that we're going to be talking about our 10th service. We're not going to stop. So if you want to go to a church that's comfortable and it's going to be nice and easy, this probably isn't your place. But I believe that there's adventure. Remember, we talked about with the focus, there's adventure. Will there be risks? Yes. Will it cost us something? Yes. But there's adventure in this. And so we have bought land in Ardrossan, and we've had every roadblock coming up that has hindered our movement there. But it looks like we got breakthrough. And at the congregational meeting, Pastor Mike talked about the breakthrough that has come in Ardrossan and the fact that they will now let us take the next steps. We will need to build a building there. That'll cost us something. Is it worth it? I think it's worth it. It'll be an adventure. And so we're looking at possibly next spring beginning to do some work out there and beginning to get to that next church plant. We're not stopping. We're not going to stop on these things. We will go, it says further, we will go and we'll partner with others who will go around the world to take the gospel to those who have not heard. First of all, Peru. We're going to run two missions programs this year. There's going to be two trips going, one to Peru and Santa Barbara. Corey talked about this. This will be our third trip into this small community, this poor community of Santa Barbara. And it'll be in March. It's in your bulletin. You can read about it and get all that information. Guinea, you've heard Pepe's talk about this, their trip to Guinea this past summer. There's a radio station over there that we helped to build. There's an orphanage. There's eyeglass clinics. There's all sorts of stuff that we're doing as a church. And also in the spring of this year, we're going to be looking at being over there. Why do we do these things? Why don't we just take care of ourselves in this country and forget everybody else? That's not what God's called us to. Is there risk? Yes, there's risk. Is there adventure? Well, talk to some of the people that have been to Peru and have been to Guinea. It's transformed some of their lives. It's refocused them in a God direction. It's been worth doing. So those are some of the plans, the high flyover that we're looking at this year in this theme of evangelism. So, down to my last point. Will you share? Will you be a part of this? Will you go on this adventure with us? And we've talked this last year as we've studied Matthew of all the pictures of what Jesus said the kingdom of God was like. Will you help people to enter into the kingdom of God? And Jesus said this, told this one, give this one picture of a merchant who was buying pearls. And all of a sudden, he sees this one that captivates him. And he's focused. And here's Matthew 13, 45 to 46. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and he bought it. Now, many of us know the kingdom of God. We know we found it. We know it's of great value. It's life-changing quality. It's eternal nature. It's priceless. So priceless that it would cause us to do extreme actions. This guy sold everything he had. Now that's a change of focus. Bigger than even my Coke can collection. It's gone now. Wasn't priceless though. But you may see this new mural here. And as you look at this mural, it's really talking about this pearl of great price. And you know, the interesting thing about a pearl or a material object, that if I'm walking around like this and I find this pearl, I could be in great danger for holding it out like this. Someone could snatch it and run. All sorts of things could happen. So you know what often happens when we have incredible things? We hold them like this. I don't know if you've ever had something of value. It may not be like a priceless pearl, but it may be something in your life that you want to hold it close so that you don't lose it. Well, this is completely different. This kingdom of God, this light that we hand out to people, actually multiplies. So if I take this light that God has poured into my life and I hold it like this and you take it, the light is multiplied. And that's the idea here. And so when this is going to be up for the whole year, so when you look at this, I want you to think of your life being an open hand. I want to give this to anybody that will take it. I want to help them understand this light that I've been given. I love visual things. Now you can see throughout the church here, we got a lot of visual things. And I'll tell you why I like them so much. When I was growing up in church, and I kind of went to church since I was this big, I remember being so bored in church. I hope that's not the case here, but I remember being so bored in church that I could tell you every tile that was on the ceiling, and I could tell you how many lights were in that original old church that I was in. I wish I had something like this to focus in on, because I remember spending hours and hours, and nothing stimulated me visually, and that's why I want this to be up on the wall. I want you to leave every Sunday, and I want you to think, okay, how can I hold my life like this so that people can see Jesus in my life? How can we communicate this light to those around me? What am I doing this week, and what will God have in store for me? That's what I want us to think about when we see this symbol on the wall. Now, on the backside of your bulletin, I want to talk to you just a second about the backside of the bulletin. And it's got a little light in the center. And you know what? Sometimes we have these big adventures we want to go on, and we don't give people the links of where to start. And so as a staff, we've put this together, and we want to give you some of the links and some of the starting points that you can start in. We'd love to see everybody move, and this is kind of in a circle. Starts up here about owning the cause and goes around here. So you may not own the cause. You may say, that's okay, Jesus. I love you, and I'm glad what you did in my life. But I don't really live by the dictates or what you want me to be. I don't really let you reign in my life. Maybe it would be a year for the first time you would say, I'm going to own his cause. And so you start up here and you own the cause. And you develop, what's it mean to own the cause? Develop a heart for those who don't know Christ. Maybe you're in a place where you couldn't care less. Well, you think what you think and I think what I think, and let's just not talk about this kind of stuff. I've heard a lot of Christians say that. We don't talk about politics and religion. Well, who said that statement? Where's that coming from? Well, own the cause, it means you're going to talk about God. You're going to have that same kind of passion, that same kind of love for your neighbors and your friends who you know don't have an eternity with Jesus. And if you're going to own the cause, then the next one comes pretty easy. You're going to create space in your life for those who don't know Christ. And so you're not going to spend hour after hour sitting in front of the television and doing things that just serve yourself, but you're going to be saying, I'm going to do something that I can create some space in my life for this. Maybe you'll take time to shut the television off and pray for those who don't know God. Thirdly, be a friend. Build relationships with those who don't know Christ. Have spiritual conversations with those who don't know Christ would be another turn in the wheel. And lastly, maybe you'll come to a point where you'll actually be able to invite someone to respond to the call of Jesus in their life. I think we've got an exciting year ahead of us. And if you're wondering where to start and where to pray, right here will help you do that. So, worship team, if you could come. I want to give you an opportunity to respond. It's a unique kind of opportunity to respond. There are tea lights in a bucket right here. And Barry's going to light this candle, and this candle is going to represent Jesus Christ, the light. And what I want you to do is, you're not making a statement to anybody here today, but you're making a statement to God, and you're saying, I will own your cause. I will represent you. I will, through me, you can count on me to help others to get to know Jesus, to get to know God, and to build a life with him. So what I want you to do is I want you to just come and light this candle to symbolize the fact that Jesus has placed a light within you. And then as you go and you move from lighting it here on the Christ candle, you will go and you will place it here. And hopefully there will be many others who will place a candle here, signifying, you can count on me, God. You can direct me. You can lead me. You can place a passion in my heart, because I just want to be someone who is used of you, and I want my light to shine. So as the worship team plays, we're not in a hurry. We got another 7-8 minutes. You can come, and you can take a little tea light, and you're saying this to God. This is a response to God, and come and place it here. And you know what's significant about this? We're all together as a body, and you'll notice the light that comes from this altar that we have before us. So, come ahead.